It's good to be here again. I thank you for inviting me. I greatly desire for God to move in this community. And the way God moves is by us having a greater vision of who He is. When we exalt God, when we magnify Him, when we show Him how, when we declare Him to be as great as He is, when we realize who we are, that's how we change. That's how we grow in the Lord. And that's how we shine forth the gospel to the nations. And to the community that we're in. And in our families. And so tonight I wanted to talk through Daniel 4. Because it's this amazing story that God put in the middle of Daniel that demonstrates His power in the affairs of man. And there's always things going on that make us question His power. From my understanding, there's been terrorism quite close to here. We need to see that through the light of God controlling all things. But before we talk about that, tonight I want to talk and just declare how God controls all things. So when you get to Daniel 4, it's about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was, in Daniel 2, there's this picture of a statue. And the head on that statue is made out of gold. There's later kingdoms that come after him that are represented by that statue. But Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold. What we need to realize is there was no king that was greater than Nebuchadnezzar. Other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect king. Nebuchadnezzar is called the King of Kings. He's called the Lord of Lords. When Jesus Christ talks about what the kingdom of God looks like, how it's this tree that grows up and the birds of the air nest in its branches and the beasts go under its shade. That's from Daniel 4, the description of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a king unlike any other human king. And God wanted to prove that He was sovereign over all things. And Nebuchadnezzar is writing to the world. It says in verse 1, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan king. Think of all the worst aspects of every religion in the world, and Nebuchadnezzar practiced that.
dukkan irin abin da mutun yake yi da irin abin da yake na duniya Nebuchadnezzar ya aikata irin wannan abin nan mutuntaka.
His heart was as much against God as anyone in the history of the world.
Shifa muradinsa shine ya zama wanda zai bar tarihi a cikin mulkin nan mutun na duniya nan.
But Daniel 4 is a letter written to every tribe, every tongue, every nation.
Sa'adin nan a cikin Daniel sura 4 yana nuna kowanne harshe, kowanne sara da dukkan wanda suke na duniya.
This is the first time the gospel goes to the whole world.
Wannan ita ce lokacin da bishara tana shiga dukkan duniya.
Since the time of the flood.
Ya ce da lokacin aguduwa kenan.
And God does that primarily by saying, I am in control of all things.
Allah fa yayi wannan domin ya nuna cewa shine yake mulki na dukkan duniya.
And so Nebuchadnezzar writes to every tribe, every tongue, every language, or every nation.
Nebuchadnezzar sarki ne fa na kowane tsara na kowane yare na kowane arshe.
And he starts with peace be multiplied to you.
Sai ya ce bari salama ta karu dukan kowane lokaci.
When this story starts, he doesn't know the gospel.
Lokacin da labarin fa ta fara, shi fa bai san bishara ba.
But when the story ends, he knows the gospel.
Amma lokacin da ita labari ta kare, ya gane bisharar Ubangiji.
He doesn't know the name Jesus Christ.
Bai taba san sunan Yesu Almasihu ba.
But he understands that God rules.
Amma ya gane da cewa Allah yana mulki.
He understands that God is the king.
Ya gane da cewa Allah sarki ne.
And he understands peace comes from God.
Ya gane kuma da cewa salama tana zuwa daga wurin Allah.
So when he tells them, peace be to you, he is saying, may the gospel go forth. And remember, this is the man that conquered all the nations. He conquered all these languages. They were his subjects.
Kuma yayi nasara da yaki kuma ya mai da mutane sun zama wanda suna kankashin sa.
But after God humbles him,
bayan da Allah ya kaskantar da shi,
he proclaims the gospel to the whole world.
Sai ya fara yin bishara zuwa ga dukkan duniya.
This happened hundreds of years before the book of Acts.
Wannan ya faru ne fa shekaru da yawa kafin an rubuta littafin Ayyukan Manzanni.
But it was also happened hundreds of years after the Jews, Israel, was commanded to spread the gospel to the world. God takes this pagan man that's in as rebellion towards God as possible. And he takes him and he turns him around. So he is the preacher of the gospel to the world. So this is the story of his salvation. And in his introduction to the letter in verse 2, he says, I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me.
Dukkan irin ababe da kuma al'ajibin Ubangiji Allah wanda yake madaukakin sarki.
When we find out who God is,
idan mun gane irin mutum da Allah yake,
when we repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ,
idan mun tuba mun juye zuwa ga Ubangiji Allah,
our duty is and our desire is to declare who Christ is to those people around us.
Muradin mu shine mu nuna wa dukkan duniya irin mutum da Yesu Kristi yake zuwa ga dukkan duniya.
Especially to those who are under our authority.
Musamman zuwa ga waɗanda suke mulki.
One of the most basic signs of somebody as a Christian,
wata alama wanda take nunawa cewa,
is if they declare who Christ is to their children.
Shine ka nuna wani ne Yesu yake zuwa ga mutane.
If the father doesn't care to declare who Christ is to their children, they don't really have an idea who Christ is. Because when you see the magnificence of God, When you see the severity of the punishment that he pours out on those who are in rebellion to him, how can you not tell your children about it? The most basic response to the gospel is to tell other people. Especially those who are under your authority. Especially those who are under your authority. Nebuchadnezzar has the whole world under his authority. So he declares this to the whole world. And notice in verse 3, he says, how great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Here is the man who rules the known world. This is the man that God calls the King of Kings. But what he says is, no, God is the true king. Do you say that? Do you say that God is the true king? Do you say that he is the true Lord? What's the most basic thing a king does? What's the most basic thing that somebody rules over you does? They make the rules. They make the rules. To say Jesus Christ is your king means that you say Jesus Christ makes the rules for my life. Do you say Jesus Christ makes the rules for my life? It's easy to honor God with your lips. It has always been a problem with those people who claim that God is their king. They honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. How do you know where your heart is? It's whether you treat him as king. Whether you treat him as the lawgiver. Or it says, as it says in 1 John, for this is the love of God, to keep his commandments. Nebuchadnezzar, who's been given all this authority by God, he says, God is my king. I don't rule over God. What do you say? Do you say I'm going to make my own rules, or do you say I'm going to follow God's rules? Do you even know God's rules? God's rules are in Deuteronomy. God's rules are in Leviticus. Some in Exodus. He has given us the rules by which we are to live our lives. In Matthew 5, When Jesus Christ is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, to do every single aspect of it. He says, I'm not wiping out the cup. I am filling the cup to the brim. Do you believe Jesus Christ is your King? Do you see him as Nebuchadnezzar sees him? And then Nebuchadnezzar goes through an explanation. He describes how he comes to this point. He talks about how he had this dream. And for sake of time, we're not going to read the passages. But he has this dream, and he has this dream of this tree that grew up, and the birds nest in it, and the beasts are under its shade. And then it gets cut down. And a band is put around it. A metal band is put around it. And then all of a sudden, it grows back. And he doesn't know what's going on. He can't understand. So he calls everybody in the kingdom that's supposed to be a wise man. And none of them can answer. So he probably goes to the person who he knew could answer even before he called the others. And that was Daniel. Daniel, who interpreted his dream about the statue. Daniel, whose friends have been thrown in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to know who God was. He had seen the power of God with Daniel being able to say, this is what will happen over the next centuries. He didn't want to know who God was because he saw these men standing in the fire, and God, Nebuchadnezzar, did everything that he could to judge them. He literally creates this picture of hell. He literally creates a picture of hell. He builds this fire that's seven times hotter than any other fire. He says, I am God. I can cast people into hell. And God goes, no, you're not. No, you're not. That's what God says to him. Because they can walk in the midst of the fire and not be burned. They come out and they don't even smell of the flames. Nebuchadnezzar understood that God was God. He believed that. But he didn't have saving faith. Because saving faith means that you have to not just believe that God is God, but you have to submit to him as God. Nebuchadnezzar knew that God could stop somebody from being burned. He knew that God was more powerful than Nebuchadnezzar. But still he says, I don't want to hear from him. But when he can't get an answer anyplace else, he goes to Daniel. because he knows who Daniel serves. Always remember, people do not want to know who God is. Jesus Christ says, to know who God is means you have to die to yourself. Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to die to himself. But he was so tormented by the dream that he goes and asks Daniel anyway. Because he does know that God is the one who rules in heaven and on the earth. And on the earth. So then he describes the dream to Daniel.
And
in verse 12, he uses this description that I was talking about, that the beasts of the field have shade under its tree.
Asura goma sha biyu sai ya nuna ma Daniel irin mafarkin nan da itacin da kuma inda dabbobi na duniya suke zama a karkashin itacin.
And so he goes through the rest of the dream.
Ya ji yana bayyana masa mafarkin.
And then he gets to this part.
Sai ya kai ga wannan lokacin.
Let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast. And let seven times pass over him. God was going to take Nebuchadnezzar and make him into an animal. The most powerful person in the world. So much so that nobody else was even close to having as much power as he had. You look at all the kingdoms that come afterwards, and the Greek emperors, and the Roman emperors, and the Medo-Persian emperors. None of them had nearly as much power as Nebuchadnezzar. And God made Nebuchadnezzar eat grass like an ox. Never think that there's some earthly power that can resist God. Not Boko Haram, not the Fulani. Not somebody who's abusing you. Somebody who's taking advantage of you. Or stealing from you, or any other form of oppressing you. God can stop Nebuchadnezzar. God can stop Nebuchadnezzar. There is nobody on this world that can resist God. Last year when I was here, I taught on the fear of God. Last year I taught on the fear of God. And this is an example of why we should fear God rather than fearing any men. If there was any man in all of history to fear, it would be Nebuchadnezzar. And God says to Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to make you eat grass for 7 years. And he says specifically why in verse
17.
This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones. in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. God gave this story to us. God caused these things to happen. So that when we see the Fulani attack, we don't fear the Fulani. We say, God, why did you send the Fulani? The terrorism that you're experiencing, it needs to point you to greater fear of God. God caused this to happen 2,700 years ago. Sorry, 2,400 years ago. Bad math in my head. But he caused this to happen so that you could know. So that you could know that God rules in the affairs of men. So that you can respond rightly when horrible things happen around you. That you can respond not by falling down before the Fulani, but by falling down before the living God. If God can make Nebuchadnezzar eat grass like an ox and live off of it for 7 years, there is nobody who is withstanding God. Nobody withstands God. God put this in His Word so that we would know. We would live by the fact that God rules in the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar found that out the hard way. He had to eat grass like an ox for 7 years. The rain of heavens fell down upon him. He lived outside. His fingernails grew like eagle's claws. His hair got so matted it became like feathers. Don't require that before you say God rules in the affairs of men. The easy way to learn that is from Daniel 4. The hard way to learn that is to continue to fear everything else instead of fearing God. Fear God. That's where peace is. When Nebuchadnezzar says, "Peace be multiplied to all the nations," he has learned the lesson that I'm trying to exhort you to believe tonight. Fear God, don't fear man. Ask yourself what God is doing, not what men are doing. Put on the mind of Christ. Think about the world the way God thinks about the world. He doesn't go, "What are the Fulani doing?" He goes, "I'm a good father. Christ goes, I'm a good father. He goes, I'm training my children. He's saying, I'm chastising my children. Look at it through the lens of who God is, not the lens of what the world looks at it. So continuing through Daniel 4, verse 19. And I want you to consider Daniel's response to what he hears about is going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel has been taken prisoner to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar.
Daniel fa andoke shi ne kamar bawa daga kasar sa zuwa Babila ta wurin Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar destroyed his homeland.
Nebuchadnezzar ya rugurgusar da dukkan kasar Urushalima.
3 times.
So uku.
Nebuchadnezzar brought the Jews into captivity.
Nebuchadnezzar ya dauki Yahudawa zuwa bauta na talala.
But Daniel did not go, ha, Nebuchadnezzar is going to get what he deserves. Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time and his thoughts troubled him.
Daniel wanda sunansa shike Belteshazzar bai damu da abinda yake a wannan lokacin ba.
He says, my Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. Even though Nebuchadnezzar had done all these things to the Jews, Daniel was mournful over the fact that the Jews were in captivity. But he still has sympathy for Nebuchadnezzar. This is also what true faith looks like. We have sympathy for those who are still enslaved by their sin. Even when they affect us, our response is not anger. Our response is pity. Because in that end, unless they repent, they will suffer eternal damnation. So our response is not to go, ha, good, my enemies are going to suffer. It is to have sympathy. Because we recognize what God did for us. He opened our eyes to see who God truly is. Because when God opens our eyes, when He gives us ears to hear, when He gives us a heart to understand, that is how we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, I will show mercy to whom I show mercy. And He says that those who have received the mercy of God desire mercy for others. And Daniel desires mercy for Nebuchadnezzar.
Daniel ya ji tausayi na Nebuchadnezzar.
And so he goes on and he explains the dream.
Daniel ya bayyana wa Nebuchadnezzar mafarki.
How Nebuchadnezzar brought peace to the world.
Inda Nebuchadnezzar ya kawo salama ga duniya.
Before that, the nations would go to war against nations all the time.
Kamin wannan lokaci
Nebuchadnezzar conquers all the nations. And after he conquers all the nations, there's a level of peace and prosperity that the world has not known before that. And then he goes and says, but you will be taken and driven out from among men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over you. Till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to whoever he chooses. So this is to teach Nebuchadnezzar directly. And we're supposed to learn from the example so that we don't have to go eat grass like an ox. But Daniel doesn't just go, this judgment has been set. Daniel already knows Nebuchadnezzar has an idea who Jehovah is. Because Nebuchadnezzar has already sent out letters saying that they should bow down to Jehovah. That Jehovah, he knows all things that will happen. And so he says, here's what's missing from what you know, Nebuchadnezzar. And that's verse 27. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous. And your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps then there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, repent. Don't just profess Christ. Don't profess God with your lips. Show it in your behavior. Be merciful to those who cannot bless you. Stop committing the sins that you know are against the law of God. That's the same thing that needs to happen today to truly believe. You need to break off from your iniquity. You need to say he is indeed king. Not just saying it with your mouth, but saying it with your behavior. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to not be a carnal man anymore, to be a man of spirit. That's what it means to have your heart of stone removed and be given a heart of flesh. It's that we believe God is Lord. And it manifests itself, it works out in what we do. Daniel knew Nebuchadnezzar had an idea who Jehovah was. But he had to add to that knowledge true faith. No works has ever saved anyone. But James says, show me your faith by your works. Paul says that Jesus Christ saves us to walk in the good works that he prepared beforehand for us to walk in. God saves us so that we can walk in righteousness. He knew Nebuchadnezzar wasn't saved because he was not walking in righteousness. Regardless of how many people he witnessed to, he had already said, "You must submit to God, to everyone in the world." But that wasn't enough to save him. He had to turn from his iniquities. He had to start caring for people other than himself. But Nebuchadnezzar doesn't do that. Not for 7 years. Verse 30. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" He says it's not about God. It is about him. He can say all he wants about who people should be worshiping. He can profess whatever he wants with his mouth. But as long as he thinks his life is about him, rather than about God, then he is not saved. He is not saved. Jesus Christ said, to have your life, you must lose it. Nebuchadnezzar did not lose his life. He can know all kinds of things. But he wouldn't die to himself. Make sure you understand how serious this is. You can come to church, you can sing praises, you can pray unceasing. But if you don't make your life about God, if instead you make it about yourself, you're not saved. That's what God does. He changed us being a slave of sin and makes us a slave of righteousness. Instead of us doing what we want for our pleasure, for the things that we think are good, he changes us and makes us do the things that he says are good. That's what it means to die to yourself. And you must die to yourself and live for Christ to have eternal life. Nebuchadnezzar could talk all he wanted. But when he said, "It's all about me," he wasn't saved. Anymore if you say it's all about you. So then after bragging, God hears that and he sends him out to eat grass like an ox. He literally makes him an animal. He literally makes him an animal. You go eat grass and you will die. You will not live 7 years. K Cows have two stomachs because that's what it takes to digest grass. Cows have two stomachs because that's what it takes to be able to consume grass.
All right. Itasanya tanaga inda tana aji ciyawa tanaga inda tana aji wayan so abuwa guda biyu domin ta sata ta rayu.
A human body cannot do that.
Jikin mutum bai da irin wannan abin da dama yake da shi a cikin sa ba.
According to nature.
Inda jiki yake kenan.
But God is sovereign over nature.
Amma Allah ya san dukkan komai.
He can make somebody eat grass and live.
Zai iya sa mutum ya ci ciyawa.
He controls all things.
Zai iya zabe dukkan abin da yake so.
There is nothing outside of his control.
Ba abin da yake ba wanda zai iya gagari Allah ya aikata ba.
And we see that because after 7 years pass, after his hair gets to be like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws, guess what? That's not what happens naturally either if you don't cut your hair for 7 years. It doesn't become like feathers. And your nails don't really become like talons. But God wanted to say, I am so sovereign over all things that happen. That I will make Nebuchadnezzar into an animal. And then 34, and at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me.
And
I blessed the Most High who praised and honored him who lives forever. God grants him his understanding back. God gave him his understanding back.
Allah ya meshe ya sa shi ya sake dawo zuwa ga hankalinsa.
Because not only did he give him a stomach that could digest grass,
ba ma ya ba shi cikin da zai iya ciciyawa kawai ba a'a.
Not only did he give him feathers,
ba ma ya ba shi fuka-fukai kawai ba a'a.
Not only did he give him bird's claws,
ba ma ba shi kumba kamar kasusuwa ba kawai babu.
Instantly he gave him a mind like an ox.
Daga ciki ya ba shi tunani irin ta dabba.
All his reason left him.
And
then God in his mercy grants him reason back.
And
as soon as he gets his reason,
the
first thing that he does is he praises God. He praises the Most High. Because he rules in the kingdom of man. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven.
Yana aikata abin da yake nufinsa daga wurin mayaka na sama.
And among the inhabitants of the earth.
Salina yana mulki a cikin wanda suke duniya.
No one can restrain his hand.
Babu wanda zai iya hana hannun Ubangiji Allah.
No one can say to him, what have you done?
Ba wanda zai tambaye shi me kana me yasa kana yin wannan.
Do you know that God?
Ko ka san wannan Allah?
That's the real God.
Wannan shine rayayyen Allah.
That's the God who you need to fear.
Wannan shine Allah da ya kamata kana da shi. Ka ji tsoron sa.
People want to say Jesus Christ is love.
Mutane suna so su ce Yesu ne Allah.
But you can't understand how much Jesus Christ is love
Allah ne Ubangiji ba.
Unless you understand how much power he has, how much mercy he has, that he doesn't destroy each person the first time that they sin. That is the level of God's mercy. That is who God is. He could destroy each person whenever he wants. Now Hannah, when she prays, she says, God kills and God makes alive. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he holds every person, their actions, in his hand? Nebuchadnezzar believed that. Nebuchadnezzar was saved. Nebuchadnezzar is in heaven. Do you believe in that God? Do you praise and honor him for who he really is? When you describe him as helpless, when you describe him as begging people to come to him, you're not portraying the God that Nebuchadnezzar believed in. You're not believing in the God that Jesus Christ declared. The God that Paul declared. In Romans 9, when Paul says that God said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Esau I hated, Jacob I loved. God said, I am in control. No one can resist my will. Do you believe in that God? It's easy for us to make a God that we call Jesus Christ. It's easy for us to make up a God that we call Jesus Christ. And then say we believe in him. That's not how people are saved. They're saved by believing in the true God. And then just to cap it off, just to make sure that we get it, could you imagine if President Buhari, the president of Nigeria, if he went and ate grass like an ox for 7 years, he went insane so that he had the mind of an ox. Can you believe that he would again become president of Nigeria? Nebuchadnezzar becomes emperor of the world again. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me.
Babilonawa, bayan dukkan ya su faru da sarkin Nebukadnezzar, an maido masa da mulkin sa, an maido masa da dukkan abin da dama yake da shi, a lokacin da bai riga ya zama gaba ba, an sake mayar mashi bayan wannan rayuwa.
Just to make sure that all living know that God rules in the affairs of man.
Wannan kawai dare mu sani da cewa Ubangiji Allah yana mulki a cikin dukkan rayuwar mutane.
God does what man would never do. God does what man would never do. He makes Nebuchadnezzar more powerful after he has been insane for 7 years. This probably matches Egypt comes up and attacks Babylon. Egypt comes and attacks Babylon. God restores Nebuchadnezzar's reason. In his noble go, who can save us except Nebuchadnezzar? And Nebuchadnezzar becomes a greater ruler than he ever was before. This is so we can know that God rules in the kingdom of man. And so our response should be the same as Nebuchadnezzar's. Our response should be the same as Nebuchadnezzar's.
Verse 37.
Now I, Nebuchadnezzar,
Ni Nebuchadnezzar,
praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways are justice. Nebuchadnezzar says, God is King.
Nebuchadnezzar yace, Allah sarki ne.
He says his ways are just. His works are truth. He's the one that's truly ruling. And he treats him as king. Do you treat God as king? Do you say he gets to tell me what to do? Do you say he has revealed to me his law? So I must obey it. Or do you treat him as if he's not king? That you can do whatever you want. Professing Christ with your lips but not working out your salvation by not walking in righteousness, that's not what saving faith looks like. Saving faith is being a new creature. God gave us this picture with Nebuchadnezzar. He's this weird-looking beast that eats grass like an ox and has hair like feathers and has fingernails like talons. And he takes him and makes him a king with greater splendor than any other king. That's what God does. That's what God does with Christians. He takes us from being in this world to being consumed and trapped in the things of this world. And he takes us when he saves us. And he says, you are a king and you are a priest. Revelation 1 says, we are a royal priesthood.
I starting Revelation.
We are both kings and priests.
Mufa ajebu kama saraku nani? Ria tell you ana natna.
That's what we are now.
Abunda muche saraku nani muche abunda muche kena yanzu.
John says it in present tense, not future tense.
Yahaya yana chewa muna magana ka abunda ke faruwa yanzu ba abunda zai faruwa gaba ba.
When God says Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, Christians are the kings that he is over. He rules over all the nations of the earth. But are you acting like a king? Are you acting like a priest? Be cautious. God says there is a narrow way. And there is a wide way. And the vast majority of people find the wide way and never find the narrow way. Make sure you're on the narrow way. The only way to be on that way, the only way to be on that road is to go through the narrow gate, which is Christ. But the only way to go through that narrow gate is to die, to join him in his death, and to join him in his life. Dying to ourselves, dying to our sins, and walking in the newness of life. This happens in a moment, but it also is a process by which we walk in greater and greater holiness. Is that the picture of your life? That's the picture of the life of those who find eternal life. And that doesn't mean we go, look how great I am. Because it is Christ who works in us. It is by him pouring out his Spirit upon us. And that's how we walk in greater and greater holiness. Because God rules in our affairs too. We are counted as nothing before him. He does according to his will among the inhabitants of the earth. We don't restrain his hand. And he's a good father to his children. And he trains us and he changes us. But what it looks like to us is we are walking in greater and greater holiness. We are doing what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar to do. We're turning from our iniquities. Is that the God you believe in? We're going to talk about this later in the next couple nights. About how important it is not to ignore the judgment of God. When God judges us, when things come upon us, it is crucial for us to say, what is God doing? not what is the world doing. Because the world doesn't control God. God controls the world. Deal with your sin today. Deal with your sin today. Deal with your pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride comes before destruction. And the haughty spirit before the fall. Deal with your pride. God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar's pride. That's how serious God considers pride. Deal with your pride. Repent from your pride. And the last thought that I want to close you with. Make sure you see this God. Make sure you see this God that you fear. You can walk out on the streets here and talk to a bunch of people. You can walk out on the streets here and talk to a bunch of people. And say, I'm going to give you a free gift. I'm going to give you eternal life. But if they don't fear God, they don't know who He is, and you can't give them that gift. God doesn't give them that gift. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Nobody is saved without fearing God. Nobody is saved without fearing God. You know nothing until you fear God. You cannot know who Christ was and what He did without realizing the punishment that you deserved. Make sure you fear God. Because everyone will fear God. They'll either fear Him in this life and turn and thank God and praise Him for His mercy, or they'll fear Him in the next, or they will fear Him in the next when He casts them into hell, where the worm does not die, where the worm does not die, and the fire does not consume, where for eternity they will be filled with torment beyond anything that any of us can imagine. That's what God promises to those who do not fear Him. You will. You will fear Him. There is no one who spends eternity in hell that does not fear God. Be like Nebuchadnezzar. Be like
Nebuchadnezzar.
Fear Him today. Let me close this in prayer. Oh Lord God, we do thank You for this time. We thank You that You have revealed Yourself to men. For we cannot know who You are except through Your mercy, except for Your care. Lord, I pray that we have greater fear of you. For those who do not know you, I pray that they see you as the God who controls all things. Every sickness, every hunger, every economic disaster, every terrorist attack, you have chosen each one. Because no one can resist your will. Lord, give us a greater understanding. Give us a greater ability to apply that to our lives. And let us flee to you. When we see things happen around us that we feel are so terrible, let us flee to you and beg you for deliverance. For there is no Savior except Jesus Christ. Give us this understanding, we pray. We cry out to you. We beg you, Lord. Increase our understanding of who you are. We thank you that you are kind and merciful. Bless us. Amen.